Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
We're here to preach the gospel. Isn't that right? But life is unpredictable. And understand that. So when something hits your life, you're like, that doesn't seem fair, or that doesn't seem right, or whatever. But let me just tell you, the flip side of that, the other side of this coin is God's promises are yes and amen. And God never changes. See, it's funny. I had lunch with a guy a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, man, God can do anything. Man, there's nothing God can't do. He can just do anything. And he just kept talking and talking. And then finally, you know, I was being the polite man that I am, socially polished fella. And I was just quiet. And he said, isn't that right, Pastor? God can do anything. I said, no, I disagree with that. He said, what? I said, yeah, I don't believe God can lie. I don't believe God can change. I don't believe God can respect people. I don't believe God can withhold any good thing if we walk uprightly. So there's things God can't do. And see, we have to understand that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Now that means, listen, that statement's made in the Word because we're not gonna get good and perfect things from the world. Things aren't gonna come laterally and they're gonna be good and perfect. They're always gonna be flawed. There's always gonna be a barb on it. There's always gonna be an abrasion. There's always gonna be something where it's like, well, it just wasn't perfect. You know, there's no perfect people. There's no perfect churches. There's no, because we're looking laterally. Man, I'm here to tell you, if you look above, man, if you look for the resource of your mind above, I'm telling you, the church becomes perfect, even in all its flaws, even in all of the clay pots that are sitting in it. Because I know, listen, what I know that I know that I know that in you, man, there is the hope of the world, that there's a treasure on the inside, even though you look like a clay pot. You got chips and you got cracks, you got miscuts, but let me just tell you, I believe that what God's looking for us is to be sincere clay pots. Man, the world's gonna throw you curves. Life is gonna be unpredictable, but his promises are yes and amen. God's word gives us the opportunity. Listen, it eliminates our excuses. It gives us the opportunity to take responsibility and overcome. See, I think there's a misconception. I believe God snatches us out of bad situations. I believe he does. But I also believe God energizes us and empowers us to get through things, to be developed in things. You know, some of you guys might be a pressure test in your life right now where, man, God's just proven to you, look, the finished work that I've done in you, you're well able to withstand. You're well able to overcome. See, we've got to understand that. See, we've got to look at this, that God gives us the ability. Now, with Jesus as Lord of our lives, we have the ability to take responsibility. And what I'm asking you today is take responsibility for your life. Take responsibility for your feelings. Take responsibility for your moods. Take responsibility for your thought life. Take responsibility for your words and your actions. Take responsibility for your marriage. Take responsibility for your finances. Take responsibility for your vocation. Take responsibility for your future. Man, start developing excellent habits in your life, and you're going to have a preferred future. It's just absolutely going to happen. But when you take responsibility, it's like people say, well, man, he hurt my feelings. Man, or he made me feel like I was, like he belittled me. He made me feel like I was small. He made me, let me just help you. Especially the men in here. Men don't say that. God didn't wire us for someone else to have responsibility for my feelings. I'm not gonna give you responsibility nor control of my feelings. And let me just tell you, I'm not gonna live by my feelings. I'm gonna live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. See, but we have to take responsibility, then we can begin to overcome. And that's what I wanna talk to you about today. I wanna talk to you about the timing of us being able to overcome, the timing of our lives to overcome. And you know what? I believe the time is right. I believe that the time is fertile right now for us to overcome. But I also believe the timing comes into play. And what motivates, what initiates the timing of us overcoming is our faith, is our trust. In 1 Chronicles, if you could turn in the Old Testament, if you brought your Bibles, 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter and the 19th verse. 1 Chronicles 29:19. This is David praying to God. He said, and give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I've made provision. Let me just tell you, in every person in here, God has given you the need. God has given you the desire to build. Man, that's what we do. We are builders. We build. You know, the Bible says there's a lot of teachers, but not many fathers. A lot of boy leaders. There's a lot of people out there that could do consulting. There's a lot of people out there that could do teaching. But you know what? They haven't built anything. Bible refers to them as teachers. But let me tell you, there's fathers out there. Those are men and women that have built something. See, and that's who I want to hear from. I want to hear from people that have built something. I don't want to hear from people that have the theory. I don't want to hear from people that just have the outline for it. I don't want to somebody that's got an internet education on it and they're experts about it. No, I want to hear from people that have truly built something. And that, let me tell you, a life after God, a family that's serving God. As for me and my house, we've thrown down. As for me, we've driven a stake in the ground. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. See, that's how we begin to build. That's how God uses us. But it requires that stand. This is a great personal prayer. This is a great thing to pray for your husband or your wife or your children. Let's look at it in the Message Bible. And this is going to dive right into the heart of the message. Okay, so get ready. Are you ready? Get ready, get ready, get ready. And give my son Solomon, now listen, an uncluttered and focused heart. See, this is key. I think the key to most of the maladies of your life, the key to most of the mistakes, the key to most of the things that become traumatic in our life is because our hearts are cluttered and unfocused. We've got to have uncluttered and focused hearts. That's the first thing out of the gate that David said. Man, an uncluttered and focused heart, that he can obey what you command and live by your directions and your counsel and carry through with building the temple for which I've provided. Man, there's so much, so many of you guys, you young guys that are in here, so much has been provided for you. This year, we're going to finish up this, we're going to finish strong than last year, the capital campaign, when we're going to redo things. Man, the new playground, all the trees that were planted over the last week. Man, the new lobby that's being displayed next week, the brand new bathrooms across the street, and all the kids and the junior high and the high school churches. Man, everything that's happening, let me just tell you, it's just my heart, I'm just telling you right now, is it becomes a springboard for your ministry. Man, that's what it is. It's not you trying to muster as much as you could, but truly, honestly, be a springboard. Man, the view of life, the view of ministry, of changing the world, has to be different than our view, because our view, you're allowed to stand on our shoulders. Man, there's men and women in here that are crying out, saying, God, give our sons, give our daughters uncluttered and focused hearts. See, the keys to an uncluttered, focused heart for us, and that's where everything starts. Okay, number one is obedience to God. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. See, our flesh feels like this life is sacrificial, that it's a sacrificial life that I'm living. And you know what? It's just an obedient life. It's just me putting my flesh under. It's just me crucifying my flesh. It's just me putting my flesh to death every single day. The Bible says this, if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you reap life and peace. See, what we have to understand is that so much of the world, all of the world, all the economics, all the finances, all the politics, all the governments of the world, why is there so much corruption in the world? It's because people sow to the flesh. The world sows to the flesh. See, we're not just swimming upstream. Everything is opposite. Everything is different in the kingdom. See, that's why Jesus time and time again said, man, God will forgive you, but you have to repent. Man, repent and see the glory of God. Repent and live the kingdom. Repent and serve the Father. See, what's repent? Repent is that I turn 180 degrees and I go with a stronger volition that direction than I was going the direction before I turned. See, it's not just a change of mind. It's a change of your thought life. It's a change of your mindset. It means now your reactions don't fit who you are anymore. An uncluttered, focused heart is obedience to God. It's that we live by God's word now. We don't live by how we feel. We don't live by what we say. We don't draw an opinion about something because there's a snippet on the news. Man, we realize that, do we trust any outside voices? Absolutely not. Man, they may have a glimmer of the truth, but let me tell you, so much innuendo, so much opinion is involved in it. See, so what do we truly gauge our life? That we have to be obedient to God and we have to live by God's word. Man, and let me just tell you, and die to the world. See, in order for us to live by his word, we have to die to the world. Man, we have to die to all the forecasts of sickness and disease and the trends and all the things. I'm just telling you, man, God gives us the option now, the right, the privilege to be able to live by his word and also to live God's purposes in our lives. See, I believe there's so many people that don't even have it, that don't know that what God's purpose is in their life, because it all starts, it all hinges upon that first step, a commitment to obedience to God. And let me just tell you where that starts. God, I choose to obey you. God, you're gonna have to lead and guide me in all truth. And that's why God gave us his spirit. God, you're gonna have to remind me of everything Jesus said. Oh, again, the Holy Spirit. God, you're gonna have to show me things I didn't know. Oh, yeah. I remember now, the Holy Spirit. See, when we rely on God's promise that he sent his word to what? Heal us and deliver us from our destructions. That he gave us his spirit to remind us of everything Jesus said and show us things that we didn't know. He gave us his spirit, now listen, to lead and guide us in all truth. But are you letting your feelings lead you? Are you letting your emotions lead you? Are you gonna let your impressions lead you? Are you gonna let the likes on your social media lead you? Man, is that what's gonna validate you? Because let me tell you how long that validation lasts, that long. I'm just telling you right now that we have to put feet to the obedience of to God in our lives. We're obedient to God, we live by his word, and we live God's purposes in our lives. Man, that's what it is. We start this whole thing, this Christian walk, we all started with good intentions. Man, we're gonna change the world. But let me just tell you, that cluttered heart, man, distractions turn into tough times, turn into personal issues, and they hijack our hearts and our lives if we leave all of that stuff unchecked. It's heartbreaking to me that there's so many men and women right here in this room, in Skytook, in Sepulpa, watching on the internet, that have left personal issues in their life unchecked for years. I'm just telling you, you gotta take responsibility. That's the yeoman, man, the weight that we have to deliver to overcome is just take responsibility for your life. Don't give it to somebody else. Well, my dad left me. Okay, I got it. That's a fact. But let me tell you, that doesn't have to chart the direction of your life. Are you listening to me? I'm just telling you, bad things happen. In this world, bad things are gonna happen. That's what Jesus said. He didn't call them bad things. Man, he went the extra mile and said, and what did he call them? Tribulations. In this world, you're going to have tribulations. You know what, man, you see a tribulation come around the corner and start coming at you and you're like, oh God, why? Oh God, how? That's not what Jesus said. He didn't say mourn it. He didn't say cry about it and whine about it. What did he say? Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So now that tribulation, it goes from being a huge mess that's about to hit your life into a defeated foe, into an enemy that absolutely has no weaponry, into an enemy that all it can do is deceive you and try to throw a shadow on your life. See, so the bottom line is now, is the enemy is shadow boxing with us. But you know what Paul said? Man, we're not those who just strike the air. We deliver knockout blows. Man, I'm telling you, that thing turns that corner and starts coming toward your family or your life or your child or whatever. Guess what you've got to do? You've got to take a stand, and having done all to stand, you stand there for in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. And you know what you do? That thing's coming around the corner. You say, no weapon formed against me will prosper in Jesus' name. And guess what? That foe, that adversary has to bow, has to curtsy to the name of Jesus. See, the sheer translation of the word is that everything has to bow to the name of Jesus. I've kind of paraphrased that to curtsy. So you see, the devil has to curtsy to the name of Jesus. I like that. That's our foe. That's our adversary. That's our enemy. The bottom line, to do what God's called you to do, you have to be who God's called you to be. And let me just tell you, Amanda, God's called you to be Amanda. No one else. Bob, God's called you to be Bob. No one else. Quit trying to be someone else. God has fearfully and carefully made you. It's time to be confident in the finished work of Christ. Are you guys listening to me? Don't make me come down off this stage. I'm telling you right now, I will wade through all these fine shoes and I will get to you. I'll get up in your kitchen. I'm telling you, today you're gonna get free. Today, the timing's right for you to overcome, or we're gonna grapple. It's on. Because I'll tell you why. Easter is next week. People are going to go to church. Well, what are you going to preach on? Who cares? Are you kidding me? How about three words? He is risen. But listen, but the victory, the lives in this room are going to be so overwhelming for people. It'll be, dear God, who are these people? Oh my gosh. I'm looking at a bunch of ragtag people. There's not many noble among them. But they've overcome. Man, they're winners. Man, they win every dadgum day. How many guys win every day? How many guys win every day? I said, how many of you guys win every day? Listen, the Bible says don't look back. I'm not saying, hey, how many guys will win every day? Well, let's check the standings. Let's check our one loss. Let's check the scoreboard. No, you don't look back. You forget which is behind you. So right now, where you are right now, how many of you guys are here right now? Okay, you guys in Sepulpa here right now? Well, let me tell you, we're here right now. We're not looking back. How many of you guys are winners? How many of you guys are winners right now? How many of you guys are women? How many of you guys are overcome by, listen, faith in the blood of the Lamb? Man, the blood of Jesus, let me tell you what the blood of Jesus is. It blows a dadgum cannon hole in the enemy's plans. Man, God's given you good and not evil, a future and a hope. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line, you to do what God's called you to do, which all of us want to do. How many of you guys want to do God's will? How many of you guys want to, man, marry the right people, fulfill God's purpose? I'm telling you, everything boils down right there. Man, there's safety in a multitude of counsel. Not direction, safety. See and understand that. How many bad decisions have you made that have brought a mess into your life and you had godly counsel and did it? None of you. I've made one bad decision in my life that I've sought godly counsel for, and because there's safety in a multitude of godly counsel. See, this doesn't work when we isolate ourselves and get alone. Man, this works when we team up. But you got to be who God's called you to be. I have a spinal cord. I love my spinal cord. I really do. I think my spinal cord is very important. I think my spinal cord is invaluable. I also have Achilles tendons. I do not want my Achilles tendon to be like my spinal cord. I want my Achilles tendon to be wired like that Achilles, the best one in the world. I have the best Achilles tendons in the world, the best ones. I have the best spinal column, the spinal cord. I have the best vertebrae in the world. They're the very best. You know why? They're mine. All right? But listen, we understand this. We look at it. I don't want them to be wired the same. I don't want them to play the same role and do the same function. I want them to do what they're supposed to do. That's like us. We don't need any more of me. Oh my gosh, I'm not here trying to get you wired like me. Your wife will kill you. You're not married to Sandy. Your wife would hate you. Sandy loves me because Sandy's graced to love a man wired like me. Your wife would kill me. People would be saying, where did Shear go? What happened to Shear? And you know what? They'd be finding little body parts around Tulsa County. But see, we've got to understand that. Who does God's word say you are? You got to be obedient to God. You got to be. You got to live God's word. You got to live the for the purposes of God's word, God's plan in your life. That's how I'm wired. Man, I'm wired. I love this. I was in a meeting downtown last night, and I said, let me just tell you who I am. I'm a street preacher. That's who I am. Man, if I could go find a busy street corner somewhere, I'd go to Chicago or New York or just in Houston, these places with all these people. I'm like, man, I'm jonesing just to stand in a street corner and tell people about Jesus. And I just got to tell you about Jesus. The only bad thing is the fulfilling of this, is, and we get to do this in church, is you tell people about Jesus and you watch God change their lives. That's where the fulfillment is. You want fulfillment in your life? Man, you tell somebody about Jesus and you watch God change their lives. You watch what God does. You know why? Because Jesus, God's asking us to back his play when he hung Jesus on the cross and we made him the Lord of our life. Once we do that, God backs our play. So now we tell people about Jesus, and you know what happens? God changes our life. An uncluttered heart keeps you moving forward. You know why you invite people to church? You know why you invite people to church for Easter? We're going to tell people about Jesus. We're going to give them an opportunity to find a home here. Man, we're going to roll out. I'm telling you, we're rolling out the red carpet for sinners. Man, if you see somebody, you go, man, that guy needs church, invite him. If you see a woman, you see somebody, and you say, man, she doesn't fit into the church, invite her. This church is designed for people that don't fit in church. See, that's what we have to understand. There's some people that messes with them because you go, I think I'm designed to fit in church. I wonder if I belong here. Well, yeah. But let me just tell you, for us, man, we welcome them in. We don't judge them. We're not going to critique people. If you feel like you're being critiqued, you're just in deception. No one's critiquing you here. I'm telling you, these messages are designed not for you to think, oh, I'm glad Scott's here to hear this message today. No, they're designed, these messages are designed to hit right at the core of your heart. You may not like it, but let me just tell you, you got to deal with God's word. Man, you got to, what God does to me regularly, and how I envision the ministry area after the nightmare. What I'm hoping is the nightmare produces in their life, that God pulls their heart out, and those ministry people could say, hey, this is your heart. Are you satisfied with it? See, God's asked me that a number of times. You satisfied where your heart is? And I know that's a trick question, because if I say, well, sure, yeah, I'm good, God. No. God, I want more. God, I want better. God, I want more of you. God, I hunger and thirst for you. When's the last time that hits your life? See, why? Because we sow to the world, we reap corruption. We sow to the Spirit. You know what you're going to have thoughts of? God, I want more of you. God, I want to live a better life for you. God, I want to show them. God, I want to show them what you and I could do. Man, I had a humble beginning, but let me just tell you something right now. I'm going to finish strong, and we're going to change the world in Jesus' name. Anybody clap about that? Anybody here on that? The next few weeks are going to give you practical steps to overcome the issues that are holding you back. And let me just tell you, let's go. I'm asking you just to come back for the next few weeks. You're going to come next week for Easter, okay? But let me just tell you, today, flip the switch. Let's go. I'm telling you, we're not tapping the brakes now because we have to overcome. It's time for the church to overcome. Man, I'm looking at what's happening all over the world. Man, I looked just last night in Egypt, what happened to a bunch of Christians in Egypt, what they're doing in temples and churches in Egypt. And I'm just thinking, we can't just come to church now in warm, cozy, comfy little Tulsa. We can't be here. We're here to change the world, boys and girls. And that's who God's called us to be. In John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. / prosperity, it's a synonym. In me, your needs are gonna be met. In me, you're gonna find fulfillment. That's what he's saying here. In the world, you're gonna have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Man, I'm telling you, just look at that. That eliminates our excuses. See, let me just tell you, this is gonna be a little crass. If I could go crass just for a second. We walk into a situation, you might want to pray for somebody that's sick, terminally ill. You might want to pray for somebody whose marriage is just going crazy. And you're looking at it and going, oh my gosh, but I'm not Jesus. I'm going to pray for you, but realize I'm not Jesus. Can I help you? You very well may be as close to Jesus as that person's ever going to get. That's what Jesus said, as I am in the world, so are you. You know what Paul said? As he is in the world, so are we. See, and that's, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, man, I don't say anything that I heard my father say. I don't do anything I haven't seen my father do. So you know what I want to do? I want to do what Jesus did. I want to say what Jesus said. Guess what then? We're reflective images of him. Romans 12, 21 says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, with godly life, godly decisions. Man, it's time at some point, fellas, at some time we got to draw a line in the sand. Say, devil, you cross that line. And let me tell you, my wife and my children and my grandchildren are on this side of that line. Devil, you cross that line, I'm going to take your head off. That's it. I don't play. I'm not just going to open hand slap you. I'm going to take you out. And let me, he'll say, whoa, wait a minute, No, devil, I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. I command you to dry place, to seek rest and find none. You have messed with the wrong person because I'm not a mere man. I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm a disciple of Christ. Guess what? The mirror image of the deity of Jesus is on the inside of me. It's not by my authority that I speak, but my Father's authority. And guess what? As I speak, Christ speaks in me. Let me tell you, the devil didn't hear the last half of that. You know why? He's out. The Bible says you resist him, he flees. Submit yourself to God. Be obedient to God. And guess what? He's got to flee. He's got to run for cover. He doesn't just take off. Well, the Bible said doesn't say, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll exit. He'll graciously exit. No, he'll flee screaming. He's a coward. Do you understand that? The devil's a bully. The devil's a coward. You think about what he goes after in your life. He goes after all the little weak areas of your life. That's why, you know what? In my weakness is made his perfect strength. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring God's word into my weakness. I'm going to speak the truth in season and out of season. You know what? My confidence is in him. My confidence is in his word. And you know what? I've got to be confident that I'm obedient to God. 1 John 2, John writes, and he says something that's profound, 13 and 14. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you've known the Father. We look at this and we think it's like, oh my gosh, I write to you fathers because you've known him who's from the beginning. I write to you young men because you've overcome the wicked one. I write to you little children because you've known the Father. I've written to you fathers because you've known him because all of this embracing relationship with God. None of these guys were perfect. All of these guys had missteps and chips and cracks and cuts. All these guys had issues. What does John do? I write to you because... And you know what? That fits everybody in this room because, for this cause. See, and we look at it, we have to understand that the next few weeks have got to be pivotal. I'm just telling you, it has to be. We've got to be overcomers. We have to show up in force next week as overcomers. Do you understand that? So the little things you've been dealing with, you have to be obedient to God. You have to be able to live his word, and you have to live for the purpose of God in your life. Man, what's the purpose? Man, I know my purpose as a dad is to validate, to protect, and to provide. Yeah, you know what? I want to be like everybody else and just celebrate the living tar out of my kids. The Bible doesn't tell us to celebrate them anywhere. It says train them up. It says disciple them. It says to put commands on their lives. See, but things have softened in the world today. You can't command your kids. Oh my gosh, when I was a kid, I know it was the 60s, but when I was a kid and I'd come home from elementary school, if I got in trouble that day, if I went to the principal's office, the last people I wanted to know was my mom and dad. I cannot imagine my dad who's on the front row here going, well, I'm gonna go talk to that principal then. No, you know what? He understood honor. He understood authority. He understood that his kid needed to be trained and corrected and disciplined. See, that's who we have to be. This is a dinosaur thought. You know what this is? Man, this is something that we have an army of people that are lounging, that are seeking comfort, that are armchair quarterbacks. Oh my gosh, how did that guy miss that throw? Well, because as soon as that ball left his hand, a 350-pound behemoth crushed him. Yeah, but he got the ball away. Yeah, but you don't get it. And see, I'm just telling you, I believe God's called us to build a church to be strong when the bullets are flying. Amen. I'm telling you, we're not gonna cower. We're not gonna let the devil be the dadgum freaking bully that he's always been in so many lives. You know what? We're gonna be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm here to tell you, you're strong. And God's word abides in you. And you have overcome. See, that's what John wrote. He said, look, you're strong. God's word abides in you. You've overcome. You have overcome. See, don't look at your past. Look right here, right now. You're an overcomer right now. You've overcome. So here's our proclamation of faith today. I'm strong. God's word abides in me. I have overcome. Can anybody say that with me? I'm strong. God's word abides in me. I have overcome. I'm strong. God's word abides in me. I have overcome. I'm strong. God's word. I'm not some little weakling. I'm not some frail little. No, you know what? I'm a warrior. You know what I am? I'm a soldier in God's army. You know what I am? I'm an overcomer. You got something messing with your life? Here, just hook up on me. Here's what you do. Follow me as I follow Christ. Remember that one? Why? Because this is a path to overcoming. And you can't be satisfied with the issues that you've had in your life. You can't be that guy that you're like, yeah, you know what? It's just my cross to bear. I want to play the bull baloney card. I do, baloney. God hadn't called you to carry that. Study the cross. Jesus became our sin. Jesus became our issues. Jesus became our sickness. Jesus became our frailty. Jesus became our losses, and he died on that cross. So what died on that cross with him? See, this, and I know I'm making a point, my time's up, but this is the week. Do you understand that? This is the week in mankind. There's more written about this week in the Word than anywhere else in the Gospels. Man, it's like 20 and 25 and 30 and 35% of the Gospels are written about this week. It's a big week for you, son. But it's going to require some change. You can't grovel anymore. You can't whine anymore. You can't murmur and complain anymore. You got to find the will of God in your life. You got a week to do it because Sunday's coming. And this Sunday's Resurrection Sunday. And you know what this Sunday coming up is going to be? It's going to be a benchmark time in people's lives. I'm believing for hundreds of people, for thousands of people to say, I found life Easter Sunday 2017 at Guts Church, because there's so much of it in the room. I'm excited for you. You know why? I believe you're strong. I believe God's word abides in you. I believe you've overcome the wicked one. I'm excited about you, about your future. The rest of your life is winning after winning after winning after winning. What do you do? I win. Why? Jesus is Lord of my life. And let me just tell you, this requires the intangibles, because you know what people are going to say? Yeah, that's what everybody says. Yeah. You can listen to what they say. You watch what I do. The next thing, please try this. The next thing that tries to come upon your life, the next issue, the next depression, the next stronghold that turns that corner and tries to come upon your life, you know what? You take authority over it. Don't play. Don't hesitate. Don't wonder if what you're saying is the right thing. doesn't matter to God to save by many or by few. You might say, well, I'm the littlest in the worst tribe of Israel. And what did God say? What did God call him? A mighty man of valor, a warrior. And he's hiding in a wine press. What did God call him? A mighty man of valor, a warrior. That's what I call you today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.